Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. The Gemara had discussed at the end of our previous shir, the Torah HaKadosh has taught us that Bal of Imai, if the owner was together with the person who had borrowed the object or anything, even though, as we've been learning, we'll continue to learn, the Torah is quite strict when it speaks about obligation of a shoyl. The Torah says that he's chayiv for einsim. The discussion is, but there is this special dispensation, a bal of imay. The Gemara begins now a discussion, when is that dispensation said? Under what circumstances? So says the Gemara, Abaye savla k'Rav Oshia. Abaye follows the opinion of Rav Oshia, umetaris l'kroi k'Rav Oshia. And he explains the psukim as Rabbi Yishu would teach us to explain them. And says the Gemara, Rava Savala Rabbi Yonason. Rava, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Yonason, and he explains the psukim and Rabbi Yonason. We had in the previous year the machlokes Rabbi Yishu and Rabbi Yonason. The Torah, when it speaks about the Isser, the prohibition for one to chas v'shalom, curse a parent, the Torah says, Isha shikalas avivas imoy mos yumas. And we had a machloikis. What does it mean when the Torah says it? What does the Torah mean by saying this? According to Rabbi Yishiyah, the simple pshat in the pasuk is to be chayiv, you have to curse them both together. Until the Torah teaches us that not that way. And Rabbi Yonason says that the pshat in the pasuk means that even if you just cursed one of them, you over this Avera. The similar pasuk, the Torah says, V'chi yishal ish mi'am re'eyu v'nishbar ameis. The pasuk speaks about that you borrowed something and when something happened. And then the Torah teaches us the halacha, a bal of imay. So the question is, when we say this halacha, bal of imay, does it require that the bal of imay have to be both at the time that the loan takes place and the time that the oinus accident takes place? Or is it sufficient that the bal of imay was there just in one of these two times? Says the Gemara, Abaye savla k'Rav Oshia. Abaye follows the opinion of Rav Oshia, umetaris l'kroi k'Rav Oshia, and we'll explain the psukim that way. Begins the Gemara, the Torah says, v'chiyeh shal ish mi'im re'yu, v'nishbar emes. The Torah, as we just said, speaks about the time when the loan took place and the time when the accident takes place. And then the Torah says, bal of imo shalom yishalim. So the pasuk is teaching us that in order to have the special dispensation of bal of imo, you have to have the bal of imo in both of these times. But if the owner wasn't there by both of these times, Potter, then even if he was only there at one of these two times, Potter, that has to be only one. Viksiv says the Gemara, how could you say that? The Pasuk says, in Bal of Imay lo Yishalim. And according to Rabbi Yishiyah, the Torah is saying that you have to be there both times, because it's referring back to both times. Isn't that clearly an indication? Tam di isa b'tavayu, only a bal of imay were both of these times. Then the halacha is that he would be potter. It seemingly teaches us the Torah. Ha isa b'chada v'leisa b'chada. If he was only there by one of these two times, mechayiv, he would be chayiv. Loi melach, what is the Torah teaching us? That ha imay b'shah shela, that the Torah is teaching us, if he was there when, at the time of the loan, ain tzarach liyos ma b'shash for a mesa, he doesn't have to be there at the time of the oinus. Hayi ma b'shash for a mesa, but if he was there at the time of the accident, tzarach liyos ma b'shash shayla. You have to be there also at the time of the shayla. And then we're also going to explain why we're explaining the psukim, why we are explaining the psukim this way. Rava, on the other hand, suggests the Gemara, Sabal Krab Yonason. Follows the opinion of Rabbi Yonason, and because he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yonason, umetaritz l'kroi k'Rabbi Yonason, he explains the psukim as Rabbi Yonason explained. Again, the Torah says, the Chiyishal Ishmael Emreyu v'Nishbar Ameis, the Torah speaks about both the time of the loan taking place and the time of the accident. And according to Rabbi Yonason, when the Torah gives us two times, what the Torah means to say is that even though I'm giving you two times, as long as you were there at one of the two times, it's enough. So the Torah is teaching us, according to this, explanation, that Ye'im Ba'alav Imala Yishalim, Mashma, the Pasuk seems to teach us, the Isa B'Tavayu, that you have to be by both, or if you were by one and not the other, that's enough to make a Baal of Imai. Ksiv, the Ksiv, and then the Pasuk says, Baal of Imai, Shalom Yishalim. We could explain, Mashma Deleisa B'Tavayu, only if he wasn't there by neither, or Mashma Nami. And the Pasuk could also be explained, Ki'isa B'Chada V'Leisa B'Chada, if he was only there by one of these events and not by the other, Chayiv, Loi Malach. So what do we learn from here? Hayimai B'Sha Shela, if the owner was there at the time that the Shela took place, Einat Tzorach, it's not necessary, Einat Tzorach, they necessarily use him B'Sha Shvura Mesa. Hayimai B'Sha Shvura Mesa, but he was there B'Sha Shvura Mesa. That is not enough. Tzorach Liyosimai B'Sha Shela, he also has to be there B'Sha Shela. So we're really up to, after learning this piece of Gemara, what we're really up to is that they both agree in the halacha, they just get there in different direction. So we're learning that they both agree that the dispensation of Baal of Imai is at one of the events. And the Gemara is saying, which event is that? The event of the Shaila. If there was Baal of Imai at the time of the Shaila, you don't have to have Baal of Imai at the Shvura Mesa. But ask the Gemara, yes, the Torah is teaching us you only have to be there at one of the events. But why is that the way we're learning? Maybe we should say just the opposite. And maybe we should say what the Torah is teaching us is that the Baal of Imai has to be at the time of the accident, but it doesn't have to be at the time of the Shaila. Epechana, ask the Gemara, maybe we should say just the opposite. Answers the Gemara Mishtabra, it makes sense to say that the more critical event that you have to have is at the time of Shela, at the time that the loan takes place. Shela Adifa, Mishum the Kamaisa Le'Rishu, so that's when you become a Shoyal. So that's the critical moment. Ask the Gemara, Adarab, we can make a counter argument and suggest that Shvura Mesa Adifa, being at the time when the accident takes place, is the critical event. Shekein Chayiv Bein Tzer, that's the moment where you become obligated, and that's where the Torah says that if Baal of Imai, you won't be obligated. Says the Gemara, yes, that is a correct statement, but Eloi Shela, had there been no loan, Shvura Mesa Mayavid, the fact that something happened to this animal would be meaningless to me, says the Gemara, but you can make a counter-argument. V'ilav Shvura Mesa Shela Mayavid, if nothing happened to the animal, we wouldn't be having any discussion here. We're only having a discussion because something happened to the animal. Says the Gemara, Fil Haki, still, Shela Adifa, the moment that the loan takes place is considered a more critical moment. Shekein Chai B'Mzunasel. At that point, he becomes responsible to take care of the animal. And that's why the Gemara is suggesting that's the critical moment. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says a different reason why the critical moment where you need Baal of Imai, says the Gemara, is the moment of the Shaila. Ravashi Amakra, we look in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chiyishal ishmiem reyu, when somebody borrows something from somebody else. Why is it necessary, asks Ravashi in explaining that Pasuk, for the Torah to use the words mi'im reyu? Of course I'm borrowing something from someone else. Says the Gemara, that what must the mi'im reyu come to teach us? V'loi reyu imai, that to be chayiv, you don't have Baal of Imai. What do we see? Hareu imai, if it's ball of imai, if the owner's with you, potter. So we see that when, what is the Mimreu coming to teach us? That what is the moment that defines ball of imai? The moment of yishal mi'imreu, the moment you're borrowing it. So we see that that's the critical moment. Says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk means to say, asks the Gemara, ball of ina, the Torah continues to say, ball of ina imay shalom yishalom. In ball of imay, if the, and then the pasuk continues to say, in ball of imay lo yishalom. What does the Torah have to teach us all of these psukim? We already know that the Torah with the words mi'im re'eyu is teaching us that if the owner is with you at the moment of the loan, you're going to be potter. What is the purpose after the lima, after learning from the word mi'im re'eyu, to tell us any more? Answers the Gemara, ilav hanach, if we did not have these additional psukim, havamina hai urcha dekrohu, we would have said that the words v'chi yishom mi'im re'eyu don't really come to teach us anything. They're just the way the Torah expresses itself. Only after the Torah teaches us the halacha of ball of imay does it become important. Does it become important now to say that the words mi'im re'eyu are coming to teach us that as long as they're there at the moment, as long as he's there at the moment alone, we have the Torah ball of imay. Ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Bechama, Shala L'Rava. If somebody borrowed an animal with very nasty intention to have relations with it, Mahu, will he be considered the same type of shoyl that we keep on discussing? What's the question? Do we say, Kedishali in Shabinan, it has to be done the way people normally borrow an animal? Most people obviously don't borrow an animal with those intentions. What is the unique characteristic of a shoyl? The unique characteristic of a shoyl is kolano shaloi, that the person who's borrowing the animal has all of the benefit. And here too, even though it's a very immoral benefit, another question. Shala l'roisbay, if he borrowed the animal not to use it, but he borrowed it that people should think that he's a wealthy man. People will see that he has this animal. He obviously is a wealthy man. What is the halacha? Is he and that's the only reason he and people will do business with him. How does the halacha view him? Mahu, m'mayna b'inan. Do we say that to be considered shayla? It means I borrowed something of yours that's worth money. And that is the case here as well. That you have benefit from the actual object that you borrowed, Binon. The Lekan here, you don't have direct benefit from that object. Another question. If you borrow the animal to use it for work that's worth less than a pruta, Mahu, will you be considered a shoyl to be chayiv in oinus? Mahu, what is the halacha? Do we say that you have to be borrowed something that has a value? And here, the ikka, you borrowed an animal that has value. Idilma, kopax makruta, again, if the point of being a shoyl, if the point of being a shoyl is that you're having hanah, if you're having hanah of less than a pruta, lav klumi, it's not considered you had hanah. Another question. Shala shtei paris, You borrowed two animals, lasa ben pruta. And together, from these two animals, you will have benefit that's equal to pruta. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Mimri and Zobos are shoyl mashal. If we look at the person who's lending the animal under consideration, and the person who's borrowing the animal under consideration, ikka, you have a total of a pruta benefit. And therefore, he should be considered a shoyl. Adilma zilbasa paris. We look at the animals which you are borrowing, and you don't have a shava pruta from each animal. Next question. Shol mishutfin. You have an animal that belongs to two partners. V'nishaloi l'achimhem. And the you have Bull of Imoy that we began our shiur with today, only on one of those two owners. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Kula b'alabinon, in order to have the special halacha, a Bull of Imoy, you have to have complete Bull of Imoy. And here, clearly, you do not. V'aleka, adilma mahu palg the day mi'a mifta. The Gemara is suggesting that, and this is the way Rashi explains, that as far as the owner who's not working for you, it can't be considered a Bull of Imoy. And therefore, since it can't be considered Bull of Imoy, for that half, you'll be responsible for anything that happens to the animal. You'll have to pay for that half if something were to happen to the animal. The question here is on the owner that is working for you that owns half of the animals. What is going to be halacha? Will we apply the halacha Bull of Imoy, or will we not apply the halacha Bull of Imoy? There are other Rishonim, however, have a different approach. And their approach is that the Gemara's question is that even though there is no Bull of Imoy on the half of the animal whose owner is not working for you, but the other half of the animal whose owner is working for you could not have entered into this relationship with you if not that his partner gave permission. And the fact that your partner gave permission is enough that even though he's not working for you, that should maybe be considered Bull of Imoy. Next question. Shutv Shashalu, if two partners borrowed an animal to work on a piece of property that they own together, v'nishal echemehem, and the owner of the animal is working for one of these two partners, mau, what will be the halacha? Will we apply the concept of Bull of Imoy or not? Do we say kula shoyl b'inam, that the Bull of Imoy means that the owner of the animal is working for the entire borrower, and here we have two people that borrowed, and he's only working for one of those two individuals. At least for the person that he's working for, and he is 50% of the individuals who borrowed, me a mifter, he should be potter. Shal mi isha, if somebody borrowed from a woman an animal that's a part of the nechsim alod, as we've discussed many times, there are two types of assets that a woman brings into the marriage: nechsim alod and nechsim tzayim bazel. Nechsim alod are assets that really belong to her, but what happens is that the payris, if it's a field, and we're talking about the fruit, if it's interest, if it in a permissible fashion, of course, or if it's rent, if it's apartment, that belongs to her. So shalom isha, if somebody borrowed from a woman an animal which is part of a nechsi milog, the nishal bala, and her husband is going to work for the person that is borrowing the animal, is that considered Bull of Imoy? In other words, how do we look at the owner, at the husband's ownership of this animal? Because it's not his nechsei tzayim bazel, it's only his nechsei milog. Or we'll have a case, isha shala, a woman borrowed an animal, the nishal abal, and the person who owns the animal is working for her husband, mahu. What is going to be the halacha? Will these situations be considered Bull of Imoy? So the Rishonim try to understand, why is the Gemara speaking about a case where somebody borrowed an animal from a woman? And the question is, how does the halacha look at the husband's relationship to this animal? Given the fact that the payris of this animal belonged to the husband, so certainly the woman has no right to lend out that animal without her husband's permission. But he, since he's entitled to the payris, is allowed to lend out the payris, the animal. So the Gemara should have said A better question, if you borrowed from the husband and the wife is working for you, what is going to be the halacha? So Tosfos explains that even though a husband is entitled to the peiros, as we said before, to the peiros of the nichsim belug, he can't sell those peiros without the woman's permission. And Tosfos explains that the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Pei Amud Beis explains why is that the halacha? Because the Chazal wanted that the peiros that he receives from the nichsim belug that she brings into the marriage should be brought into the home, whether it's actual peiros and there'll be more to eat, or if it's money, there'll be more money in the home. So therefore, if he can't sell the peiros without her permission, he certainly cannot lend out the animal, which is nichsim belug, without her permission. And that's why the Gemara question is on the woman who is the real owner of this asset. How do we look at the fact that it's only nichsim belug and the husband has the peiros? How do we look at his relationship to the animal? Tosfos gives another pshat. The question here is that indeed the Gemara is speaking about a case where they borrowed from the husband the nichsim belug of the wife. And the Gemara and the Mashal explains that according to this, the husband doesn't have to have permission from the wife to lend it. And the Mashal explains, because the Gemara that we just explained from Masechta Ksubos is only referring to a situation where the animal is being sold. So you can't sell, the peiros are being sold. So peiros cannot be sold without the wife's permission. But here we're talking about the husband lending out the nichsim belug. For that, that's the Gemara's question. He has a right to lend it. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, what is the basis of these last shailos that we have, that the Gemara has presented? With the Gemara's question is, kinyan ha-peiros, the fact that the husband has rights to the peiros, as we've been explaining, ki kinyan ha-guftami, does the halacha view it as says he has true ownership over this animal? And if he has true ownership of this animal, so then he's considered the owner of this animal, and therefore he would be considered an individual that meets the condition of Baal of Imai, Oiloi. And as the Ritva explains, this question is not related to the questions that we have been discussing till now. This question is a much different question. How does the husband's kinyan ha-peiros view? It has nothing to do with the questions that we've been discussing till now. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi another question. Haim l'shluchai. Somebody says to his messenger, Tzei v'hasheli, go borrow on my behalf an animal in parasi, that the owner is lending his animal and he's not himself going to work, but he's saying to his shliach that you'll work on my behalf, mahu. Will that be a case of Baal of Imai? What is the basis of the question? Do we to fulfill the requirement of Baal of Imai, asked the Gemara, Baal of Mamish Binan, we have to have that he himself, the owner of the animal, is a Baal of Imai, Veleka, and that's not the case here. Idilma, we apply here the concept that we apply throughout Shas of Shlucha Shaladim Kamaisai. The Shliach is acting as the Shliach of the owner, and he's working, so that should be considered a fulfillment of the obligation of Baal of Imai. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Achabrei Rav Avila Rashi, Baal, how we look at the husband's relationship, the question that we just discussed, how do we look at the husband's relationship to the nichsim belug? Says the Gemara, plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, actually the subject of a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and the question that we just spoke about, a shliach, is the subject of plukta de Rabbi Yonasan Rabbi Yishya. So explains the Gemara, we just said that the husband's relationship to nichsim belug is the subject of plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We know that there's a halacha that every year you have to bring Bikurim. The halacha is that the first fruits that grow from the Zayin Minim in Eretz Yisrael, they had to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and there the Torah gives a whole given to the Kohanim, and there's a whole parsha what has to be said. And then they're eaten. The Torah says the part of the parsha is Pri Hadoma Asher Nusati Li Hashem. So if the fruit that you're bringing did not grow in property that you owned, then the Gemara says it's not considered your property. So now the question is, if you sell a piece of property, just that he should have the payers, which is another way of saying nichsim alug. It's another way of saying leasing. It's enough of a reason that it's good enough that you should be able to say ashenosati le'ashem. Rav Shlokesh Amar maybe ve'enikari, and explains the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar maybe ve'kari, because he holds kinyan payers ki kinyan aguftami, and therefore he's considered the owner of the property and can bring Bikurim and say the parsha. Rav Shlokesh Amar maybe ve'enikari, because his opinion is that kinyan payers lav ki kinyan haguf, that's not considered your owner. So Rashi makes a very interesting point in Masechet Gittin. Rashi says, if in the time that Yovel was in effect in Eretz Yisrael, so as we discussed, the Torah says in Parshas Behar, for Oretz lo simochel et smisus, you can never sell a piece of property permanently, because it only is yours, the buyer, until Shemitah comes, until Yovel comes. By Yovel, you have to return it to the true owner. If that isn't the case, so then nobody is really considered the true owner of a property. It's always actually only considered like a lease. So this Gemara obviously is speaking in a time, so then there would be no Bikurim. So obviously, in such a time, everybody will agree, Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf. Our Gemara is speaking in a time where there is no Yovel in effect. So you could truly buy a property forever. And the question is, if somebody just leased the property, is that halacha kinyan peres kinyan aguf? And the Gemara is saying that that's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh. And that will have direct bearing on the question that we've been discussing, is the husband who has kinyan peres considered like balav or not? Shliach, when we speak about the shliach doing the work, is he considered, do we say shluch shladim k'maisu or not? Says the Gemara, that's the subject, pluk the Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshia. The Tanya Oimel Petrops, if somebody tells to the person who's in charge of all of his assets, and he's going away, and he leaves a person to be in charge of all of his assets in his absence, and he says, "Kol Dorm Shtei Ishti Nederes," all the dorm that my wife makes, which we know a husband has a right under the right conditions to annul a neder that his wife makes. So he tells his Petrops, "Kol Dorm Shtei Ishti Nederes," bekanch of a mokem pliny, hafala. You should have known. And indeed he did so. Ve'efeloi. Yochum uforim. We would think that that's considered a valid hafara. Tamalayim ish yikamen avish yifurena. That it has to be the husband himself and not his shliach. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonah Somer. Ketzin mekom makom shluch shladim kamaisai. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, if we say shluch shladim kamaisai, the shliach doing the work is a fulfillment above of imai. But the according to Rabbi Yonason, we don't say that. Just opposite. Rabbi Yonason says shluch shlok amayisay it's a filament below the imay. Rabbi Yishu will not agree. Even though our Gemara has just said that the question of shluch shlok amayisay is machloikis Rabbi Yishu and Rabbi Yonason, there's a machna frayim that says that they have another category, and that's a poil, a paid worker. Says the machna frayim, the machlokes we have here between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason is only regarding a shliach. But when we speak about a poil, when we speak a paid worker, that everybody will agree that we say that that worker is an extension of his employer. Where is this relevant? It's relevant, we know, that if you have a flat roof which is accessible, you have to make a makkah. You have to make a fence around it. And the question is, Obviously, many people who are constructing such a fence are not constructing it themselves. They're having somebody do it on their behalf. The question is, when such a fence is constructed, you make a bracha, can the person who is the owner of the home, but not involved at all in the building of the fence, make the bracha? So according to the Machna Ephraim, he says, maybe if you were designated a shliach, so we just had the Machlokes Rabbi Yonos and Rabbi Yishiyah, will you be considered an extension? But a poyel, a paid worker, everybody says the Machna Ephraim is considered an extension of the person who hired him, and there everybody would agree that the person who hired this worker can make the bracha. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yehuda Shlarova, Haima L'Avdoi. Somebody tells his Evet, say Vasheli and Parosi, go and you'll work, and I'm lending my Paro. Mahu, says the Gemara, again, how do we look at one's Evet? Says the Gemara, Tabaylamandam Shlucha Shlonu Kamaisai. The question is according to the opinion that holds Shlucha Shlonu Kamaisai, and it's also a question, says the Gemara, Tabaylamandam Shlucha Shlonu Ena Kamaisai, explains the Gemara. When was that said? B'shliach devar mitzvah. He independently is also somebody who's obligated in the mitzvahs. Aval eved delab bar mitzvah. When we speak about an eved who's not mechuyev in mitzvahs, nobody could suggest that he could fulfill ball of imay through an eved. Oidama, afil man dama, even according to the opinion that we just learned, that ain't shluch shlonim kamaisai, hani mili shliach. A shliach is not really considered to such a great degree an extension of the meshaleach. Aval eved, by an eved, everybody will agree, yad eved ki yad rabba damya. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara Amalei, so Rava responded to Rav Ilish. Mistabra, it makes sense to me to say that as far as an eved is concerned, yad eved ki yad rabba damya, and there certainly will be fulfillment of bali imay. By Rama Bachama, Baal, what is the halacha? How does the halacha view a husband and his wife's nichsei milug? Shoyel hava, is he considered like a shoyel? And therefore, if something happens, if an oinus happens, he'll be chayiv. Oy, soicha hava, what does the halacha view him as a soicha? Amar Rava, so Rava asks, or Rava comments on this question, the form churfa shabeshta. Rami Bechama was very smart, very sharp, and that's what caused him to ask an inappropriate question. Because Manavshach, however you're going to look at it, it's Eve Shoyl Hava, if you're going to call him a Shoyl, but it's certainly a case of Baal of Imoy. And he's Soichavish, Tchirs for Baalmi, so it's not a relevant question. It says the Mar, this is the question. I'll keep coming by Le Rami Bechama. Ogamina Para. If somebody borrowed from a woman a cow, v'hada nosva, and then he married that woman. Now the question is, shoyl hava, soicha hava. How does the halacha look at this situation? Is he a shoyl or a soicher? Shoyl hava, because v'as yishel b'balim, after they got married, there's a new relationship, and mafka schir shle b'balim. Even though until now he was a soicher, he rented this animal. Now that he's married to her, it starts the relationship all over again. And what does that mean at that moment? He becomes a shoyl. And at the moment, as we started the shir, if he was a shoyl and ball of imay at the moment of the borrowing, we say ball of imay. Idilma soicher hava. We just continue the existing relationship, Kedekaima Kaima. Ask the Gemara, Umayshno, why is this any different to Shoyl Hava? If the person is considered a Shoyl, Dos a Shoyl of a Balim, that the fact that he became married to her, Mafka Schir Shleb Balim, it supersedes what happened till now. So Yis Soicha Nami Hava, Taisa Schir Shlebalim, Taisa Schir Shlebalim. Even we say he's continued a Soicher, that but it's a new schiris, and it's a new schiris, which is a schiris bebalim. Ella says the Gemara, Kikam Abayla Rami Bechama, to going the agri ipah ba'alma. A woman rented an animal for hada nisba, and then she married the husband. And at that point, because they got married, so now he has a right to use the animal that she had rented from him. And that's the question, is the husband's using of this animal considered an act of shayla or an act of schiris? We had earlier in the Masechta, on the Flamen Heyam Beis, a machloikus or a bonen Rabbi Yossi, where somebody borrowed an animal, somebody rented an animal, and while it was rented to this person, he lent it to someone else. And now, there was an oinus. So, we have a very interesting situation. A person who is a soicher, a person who's a renter, is not chayv in oinsim. The person who is a borrower is chayv in oinsim. So the Rabbanan and that Mishnah held that the person was, and now it died or got broke, so he's chayv in oinsim. So the shoyl pays the person who lent it to him for the animal, but the person who rented the animal is not responsible because it was an oinus. Rabbi Yossi, as we recall, says, how could it be that I am benefiting from your cow? And therefore, Rabbi Yossi said that the shoyl will have to pay the value of the animal to the original owner. So what is the question? The question is, who is considered the individual who is the mashal? Is it the real owner or is it the renter? So says the Gemara. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. According to the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Amri, Shoyl Mishalm L'Soicher, that the Shoyl pays to the Soicher, and he won't have to, in turn, pay to the real owner. All I'll have to do is swear that there was an oinus, and he won't have to pay the real owners. Loite Bailach. That won't be a question, because the Vadi Shoyl B'Balam, this would be considered a case of Shoyl B'Balam, because since the shoyl pays the soicher, so we see that the soicher is considered now the mashal. So our Gemara, where the woman rented this animal, when the woman rented this animal with the husband who borrows it from her, so at that point it becomes shayla b'balim. Kita b'alach aliv to Rabbi Yossi. The question is according to Rabbi Yossi. Don't matach sapar l'balim arishonim. We don't look at the person who rented it. So now the question is, so we don't look at the wife who rented it, we look at the original owner in relating to this incident where the husband is now the shoyl, but we're saying he's the shoyl from the original owner. My, so now the question is, how does the halacha look at this husband's relationship? Shoyl hava, is he considered a shoyl, and therefore from his wife, and I'll have to pay according to Rabbi Yossi, the original owners, the true owners? Adil Masaycha, he's a continuation of his wife, and therefore, she doesn't have to pay for his oinus, he won't either. So Rava says that we're misunderstanding the relationship between a husband and a wife. He says the husband is not a shoyl nor a soicher. He's considered a lekeach. And since he's considered a lekeach, where do we learn this from? He's a buyer. The Dibra of Yosef Bechina, the Dibra of Yosef Bechina, the Isha Eskina, she is a shemachra benuchsi malug b'chaya bala, that if a wife sold off nuchsi malug while she was married, meisa bal, and then umbeisa, then she dies, habal moitz miyad l'kuchas. We know that if somebody sells an asset to more than one person, so the first person has the first rights to that asset. The Gemara is saying the husband is considered like the first lekuach. And the way we learned earlier, the reason Chazal made such a rule is because they wanted to preserve the proper relationship between a husband and a wife. And therefore, if the wife were to die after having sold these assets, the people who bought it from her won't have rights to it. It belongs to the husband. So we see that the husband is a lekeach. If he's a lekeach, all the questions about shoyl and soicher fall away. By Ram Bachama, Baba Nixi Ishtai. The Gemara discusses a new question. A Baba Nixi Ishtai, a case where a husband has rights to the nichsim milug of his wife. Me and they were magdish something. Mimo, who's over the issa me'ila? The husband, the wife, or Bezdin that gave him the rights that we just identified? Do we say if Bezdin gave him the right, so he becomes the owner? Or do we say that the wife is the true owner? Or do we say the Bezdin that created the situation are the ones that are the owner? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, man limo. Who do we want should do me'ila? Limabal, should we say that the husband is the one that did me'ila? The ter nicha de likni, isur le nicha de likni. He wasn't interested to take ownership, that the ownership that he's taking should cause that he did me'ila. Timel ihi, the ter nami lo yichad de likni. The woman doesn't want that the husband should take ownership, that she should that she should have ownership, that she should be chayv mila. Nimelu Bezdin, and we should suggest, ask them whether the Bezdin's the one that did the mila. That also doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? Because Kiyavid Rabbana Takanta, when Rabbanan made a Takana, when we're learning in our Shir today that the Rabbanan made a Takana, when did the Rabbanan make a Takana? The Rabbanan made this Takana only Latera, in a situation where everything is going right, the Isura, but when it creates an Isser, that wasn't what they were trying to accomplish. The Isura of Rabbanan Takanta, Ella Marava, Baal Mol, L'chishiyotzi, that as soon as the husband takes the proceeds from having sold this Nichsi Melug, he is considered the one that did Me'ila. And says the Gemara, Mida Dehava, and this is something that we find, Mida Dehava, the way we find, Amoitzi Mos L'Hegdish L'Chulin, if somebody has Hegdish in his possession, when he takes it and uses it for Chulin, he becomes the Mo'il. Here too, he is considered the one that did the me'ila, and he will be held responsible.